You have your Bibles this morning. I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of John. I would like to read from John chapter 18. John chapter 18, beginning with the first verse, reading through verse 11. If you will, please follow in your Bibles as I try to read from the Word of God. John chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. The Word of God says in John 18, beginning in verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, and I want you to notice that in your Bibles that the word he is in italics, so the words that Jesus, that when it's in italics, that means it was added by the translators. The words that Jesus actually spoke was, I am. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek him, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? I want us to think about the words that Jesus spoke in the latter part of verse 11 when he said, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? A cup, you can be given a cup for a lot of different reasons. A mother might or a father might give their child a cup of milk. They might give them a cup of tea or some other drink. They might give it to them in a cup. And you know that when a parent gives a child a cup of something to drink, you know that whatever they give them, it's going to be for their good because the parents love their children. And the Word of God tells us that David said in Psalm 23 and verse 5, David said, my cup runneth over. And he's talking about the fact that God had filled his cup. God the Father had filled his cup to overflowing. The meaning there is that he had so many blessings in his life that he couldn't even hold all the blessings that his Heavenly Father had given to him. But in addition to all those good things that God gives us and signifies it by filling a cup or giving us a cup, there are some times that a parent has to give their children something in a cup that they don't like. A mother used to sometimes give me a cup of, you remember what the worst thing is that you used to give me, Mama? It was milk of magnesia. Milk of magnesia. That's the only cup that I ever remember my mother ever giving me that I did not like. Everything else that she ever gave me in a cup was something that I enjoyed and something that I liked. It was for my good, milk and all the other things that she gave me. But she also would occasionally give me a cup of milk of magnesia. And that was a terrible tasting substance that was for my good, and that's the only reason that she gave me the cup of milk of magnesia is it was something I needed at that time, and it was for my good that I drink that cup. And because I trusted my mother, and even though it might have tasted like poison, I knew that it wasn't poison because my mother loved me. And that's what Jesus is saying here as he's about to drink of a cup that was full of pain and sorrow and suffering. He knew who gave him that cup. And he says, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? It was a bitter cup, and yet it was a cup that honored and glorified the Father, and it brought about great blessings in all of our lives. Because Jesus was willing to drink of that cup, we have been saved from eternal hell. It was a bitter cup, but it was for our good and the Father's honor and glory that Jesus did drink that cup. And he says, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And I want all of us to know in our lives that though we sometimes have to drink a bitter cup, if we will always remember that our Father is the one who is giving us that cup, it will help us to bear whatever we have to drink. I want us to always remember that our Father loves us with an everlasting love. Our Father loves us more. I'm speaking now of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father loves us more than anyone else has ever loved us. My mother loves me. My wife loves me. My children and grandchildren love me. But my Heavenly Father loves me more than all of them combined. Your Heavenly Father loves you. And whatever cup you ever have to drink, it is either God specifically, intentionally giving you that cup, or God is allowing that cup to be given to you. And because of God's love for you, you can always know that God's going to be with you as you drink that cup. And because you know not only that God loves you, but because you know that you're in the hand of God and God is all powerful, you know that whatever God allows to happen in your life, it will always be for your good and it'll be to His honor and glory. So whatever cup you are having to drink from right now, and some of you are having to drink some very difficult cups, whatever cup you're drinking from, you need to be able to say like Jesus did right here, the cup which my Father hath given me. If you remember, the Father gave you that cup. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And so it is that Jesus was reconciled to drinking this cup. Though it was a bitter cup, he was able to drink that cup and be completely reconciled to drinking that cup because it was given to him by his Father. Shortly before he spoke these words to Peter. Shortly before he spoke these words, where he said, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? I want you to see what he said shortly before that. Back up in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. And I want you to see that when the cup first began to be given to Jesus, and he knew he was going to have to drink of that cup, I want you to hear the prayers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because it was in his praying to the Father about that cup being removed. It was in his praying to the Father that that cup would pass from him, that the Father gave Jesus, who was the Son of Man and the Son of God. The Father gave Jesus, the Son of Man and the Son of God. He gave him the strength and the grace he needed. Because I want you to feel what Jesus says here in Matthew 26, which I think is quite a bit different than what he says in John 18:11. But what he is saying in Matthew 26 gives him the strength and grace to say what he did in John 18:11. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36, the Word of God says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. I'm going to ask you a question. Was Jesus sorrowful and very heavy in John 18, where we just read earlier? Was he sorrowful and very heavy? He was not sorrowful and very heavy. But he is sorrowful and very heavy, and it's just before. It was just before he was so reconciled in John 18. He was sorrowful and very heavy. Verse 38 says, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Why was the soul of Jesus so sorrowful right here? Why was his soul so sorrowful? He knew the cup that he was about to drink of. He knew what was about to take place. And seeing and knowing what he was going to go through, not just those physical sufferings, not just the beating on his back, not just the crown of thorns on his head, not just the spitting in his face, not just being stripped of his clothing, not just being hung on the cross, but knowing that all the sins of all the family of God were going to be placed upon him, knowing that he was going to be, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Knowing what he was facing, he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Have there been occasions in your life that you have been facing something, or at least you thought you were facing something, that you felt like, this is a cup impossible for me to drink? Have you ever faced something in your life that you thought, without God's help, I can't go through this? And you've prayed, and you've been exceeding sorrowful, just like Jesus was here. And you've cried unto who? Unto your Father. You've cried unto God. You've cried unto your Father as Jesus was here. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39 says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father. Brethren, I think one of the greatest blessings in the world we have is not just to have him as our God. He is the God of heaven and earth, not minimizing that. One of the greatest blessings I have and you have is to be able to say, our Father, our Father. I had a wonderful daddy, but my daddy had his shortcomings. Brother David had a wonderful daddy, but his daddy had his shortcomings. I was a pretty good daddy, wasn't I, Marty? Do like this. Wasn't I, Melissa? Wasn't I, Marie? Wasn't Marie? I asked Marie. Marie, wasn't I a pretty good daddy? Yes. But I had my shortcomings, and I still have my shortcomings. There's never been a perfect natural father in this world. But we have a heavenly Father that is perfect in every way. My Father did things to me occasionally that hurt me that were not for my good. He said things to me sometimes that hurt me that were not for my good. And so has every parent in this building. Sometimes you have said and done things that were not really for the good of your children. You have lost your temper and you've said things and done things that were not moved and motivated out of love. But our Heavenly Father has never done anything to anyone in this building or any of his other children. He's never done anything except it was always moved and motivated by love and tempered by grace. And so it is we need to thank God that we can say our Father which art in heaven. And so it is that right here when Jesus is about to take this bitter cup and he doesn't want to drink that cup and he's crying unto the Father and he says, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this what? Let this cup pass from me. Then what does he say? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Have you ever prayed that? I know there are some people that say you shouldn't pray, thy will be done. Those people are contradicting the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you should ever pray that you should not also pray. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And if you believe in a sovereign God and a perfect God and a heavenly Father who loves you like the Word of God describes, you can from your heart say always, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because God's will is perfect. And so that was the prayer of Jesus. And then verse 40 says, he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. Best friends you have in the world. The best people on this earth will let you down sometimes. We need to thank God for those friends, but we need to understand the only one that we can always depend on is our Heavenly Father. And you can always depend on, you can always depend on your Heavenly Father. And so he then, after he came back and found them sleeping, he said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." Do you see a change taking place in his praying? He first said, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And now he says, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me," is he beginning to be reconciled to drinking the cup that he was going to have to drink? And then the third time he went away and he prayed the same thing. "O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Thy will be done." Isn't that wonderful that Jesus has set forth in the most critical and crucial and the most horrible time in his life, the time that he was going to drink the worst cup, had he already drank some bad cups in his life? Had he already been through difficult times? But now he's about to drink from the worst cup that he's ever drank from. And he says, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done." And what did he teach you to pray in Luke 11? Turn to Luke 11, verse 2. Let's see what he taught us to pray. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 2, Jesus gave us the great example there, as we just read from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. The scripture says now in Luke 11, verse 2, that his disciples came to him saying, "Teach us to pray." In Luke 11, verse 2, the scripture says, "And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father." What did Jesus pray over there in Matthew 26? What did he say? "My Father, oh my Father." He says, "When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." What's the very next statement? "Thy will be done." What does he do? He tells you to pray. He tells you in the very beginning of your prayer that you're, after you acknowledge that God is your Father, you say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." And the very next statement is, "Thy will be done." The only way that you can ever, in sincerity, the only way you can fervently pray, "Not my will but thine be done," is if you believe in the kind of God who is your Heavenly Father, who loves you and who is able to do all things right and well and who has more wisdom than you will ever have. You can then pray. What did Jesus say to Peter over there? He said, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Was he ready to do it in John 18? He was ready and he was willing. You know, one of the most marvelous and wonderful things in the world is when you find children of God who are so much like Jesus that no matter what they face in their lives, no matter how bitter the cup, no matter how hard it is to swallow it, their confidence is in a Heavenly Father, and they can say like Jesus did, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" They're willing to drink. That's not going to cause God to do worse to you. You saying "Thy will be done," that doesn't mean that God's going to then do worse to you than if you hadn't prayed it. God's not going to do worse to you. You're going to find great blessings when you can honestly, truthfully, from your heart say, "I trust my Father. My Father loves me. And whatever cup my Father gives me, I'm willing to willingly drink that cup." Go with me to Job just a moment. You remember the words after Job had lost all of his possessions. You don't have to turn there. You know the words. I'm just going to quote the words. In Job chapter 1, after Job has lost all of his possessions, the scripture says that Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." Now, what's that acknowledging? When he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. He's acknowledging I'm not going to take anything with me when I leave this world. Sooner or later, you're going to lose everything you have. Everybody understand that? I've got all my little trinkets and all my little toys. But all my little trinkets and all my little toys, I'm not taking any of them to heaven with me. Did you know you're not taking any of your little trinkets and toys with you? They're all going to stay here. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. I came into this world without anything, and I'm going to leave this world without anything. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And then he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brethren, that man had just lost all of his possessions and all of his children. In one day, he had lost everything. He had drank, I think, the most bitter cup that anyone ever drank other than Jesus Christ. And right after he drank it, the Scripture says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't say words that rebuked or in any way questioned God. He said words that gave God glory. And then his wife came to him in the next chapter. You know how you can say sometimes it can't get any worse than this. Well, brethren, Job, after he had lost all of his possessions and all 10 of his children died, the next thing that happened after that, after he's given glory to God, the next thing is he has boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And what does his wife then say? His wife said, curse God and die. Now, he had physical problem, pain beyond description. And then the closest friend he probably had on the earth, his wife said, curse God and die. And here's what Job said in Job chapter 2 and verse 10. His response to her was, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And that word evil means trouble and problems. Shall we receive blessings, and shall we not also receive trouble in our lives? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Does God fill your cup to overflowing with blessings? But does God sometimes come to you with a cup and say, now here's a cup of milk of magnesia. You need to take this cup. It's for your good. And if your confidence is in your Heavenly Father, and you believe what God says, and you know that God never does anything except to be for your good and His glory, then you can say what Jesus said in John 18:11. You can say, the cup which my Father giveth me, shall I not drink it? Have any of you ever had to drink a bitter cup, and then you knew that it was for your good and His glory? Have you ever had trouble in your life and you knew that even though that you were having trouble beyond description, you knew that God was still in control of everything that was going on? It's a great blessing to know the sovereignty of God and the magnitude of the love of God. You remember when Joseph had some bitter cups to drink. Joseph, back there in the book of Genesis from chapter 37 through 50, Joseph had about as many bad cups to drink in about a 17-year period. He had bad cup after bad cup after bad cup to drink. One right after another. Not just one occasionally, but just boom, 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 boom. One cup after another. And you know what he said when his brothers finally came to him and they were starving and he was going to give them food? And they were scared to death that Joseph was going to kill them. Joseph said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. See, all those bad cups that he had drank, they all were for the glory of God and for the good of his people. Go with me very quickly back to the New Testament. Turn in your Bibles to look at Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to notice that sometimes God brings a cup of chastening. Now, see that cup that my mother gave me of milk of magnesia, that wasn't chastening me. That was medicine that I needed because I was sick and I had a problem. That milk of magnesia would always solve the problem. Well, sometimes we need we need a cup of chastening sometimes. And the Lord can bring a cup of chastening that will bring us to our knees. Do you know who the Lord chastens? Who does the Lord chasten? Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He doesn't chasten everybody in this world. The only ones God chastens are those that He loves. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 6, I want you to please follow this carefully. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now, is that chastening, is it pleasant? Is that a bitter cup to take when God chastens you? That's a bitter cup. If ye endure chastening, that is, if you'll go ahead and drink the cup, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for whose son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, that is, all of God's children are partakers of chastening, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. Now listen carefully, this alludes to what I was talking about earlier. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, that's our natural fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now listen to verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Have you ever had to take a cup of chastening? You ever had to take a cup of chastening? He says, no chastening for the present is joyous. There's nothing at all pleasant. You do not rejoice while you're being chastened by the Lord. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That's saying that when God does chasten you, and you are exercised by that chastening, it brings forth fruit in your life. When he does give you that cup of chastening, it'll bring forth fruit in your life. Let me mention one other thing about cups. Sometimes we have to drink cups where we lose everything we have. Listen carefully in closing. Sister Darla mentioned in Bible study this morning that their house burned down one time. And when their house burned down, he was homeless and had lost almost all the possessions that they had. That's a sad thing to lose, for your house to burn down. If you go home today and your house is burned down, I venture to say you're going to cry. You're going to cry. The Apostle Paul says, I have learned, listen carefully to his words in Philippians 4:11-13. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You remember those words? I have learned. You're not going to just automatically be content, but you can learn to be content. And Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He talks about, I have learned how to be abased, and I have learned how to abound. And then he says in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you know how Jesus was able to say to Peter, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Do you know how he could joyously say that? It's because he had learned obedience. He knew the Father cared for him, and God gave him the strength he needed. And Jesus will give you the strength you need when you have to drink those bitter cups. May God help us as His people to willingly drink the cups He gives us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.